listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
What we should do is issue currency debt-free and base it on time unit of value, as Ithaca, New York has done for 20 years. It's something that we can do tomorrow. We don't have to wait for a vote. We don't have to wait for our kings. We don't have to be damn slaves anymore. Anymore. Do you hear me? This is the silver bullet to destroy the parasitic systems which have robbed us of our souls, which have robbed us of our will to resist. But I think it's time for the Republic to fight back. Right here, right now.
Right here, right now, you're listening to Mountain Hours Evolution Radio. Thank you for joining us. I am your host, Wayne Walton. We are broadcasting from Summit County, Colorado, where I was just recently going around town with a activist, Bruce Bauman from We Are Change Colorado. He's going to be promoting Mile High Hours down in Denver. Anyway, we're just going around. We had a couple spots that accept Mountain Hours, and just it's all a theory until you actually spend the currency, and then once you spend the currency, then it becomes a real thing. And we are not a talk show; we're a do show, and part of doing is actually getting out there and spending the local currency to affirm it in your mind that this works. This is a viable solution. And we are focused on monetary reform, and along those ends, one of the top voices in the monetary reform movement is Ellen Brown, and she is our very special guest today. She'll be joining us here shortly. It's Ellen Brown of the book, The Web of Debt, and there's great information that you can find in her book, and it's different than what you typically hear from the majority of the Patriot media, which talks about gold and silver for money. Obviously, Bill Still has many documentaries in Money Masters and The Secrets of Oz, and there's alternatives to gold and silver, and that's what we focus on because, we don't need gold and silver to sustain life, therefore it's not necessary to have gold and silver in order to have money. We do need to have our own energy, our own skills, food, water, shelter, those sorts of things. Those are necessities. Gold and silver are not necessities in order to sustain life. So we want to build a system that's independent of any particular group of elites, commodities, unless, for instance, it's, food, but that's something that we can create locally. So we're going to get into some of this and these options with Ellen Brown. Do check out her book. Again, it's Web of Debt, and it gets into how the bankers were running the show prior to the Federal Reserve, not just after the Federal Reserve. They've been around for a very, very long time. And when any nation borrows its currency into circulation, they automatically are giving up their sovereignty. And that's the primary issue, is you need to be independent, self-sufficient, self-sustaining. And if you live in a community, like let's say you live in Florida, there is no gold and silver mines there. And if you're reliant upon gold and silver, then you're going to be dependent upon those who have gold and silver. So it's essential that we have proper solutions that offer us independent from a global monetary system, whether it's Federal Reserve notes or gold or silver. That's the whole idea, is to build economic independence and have a system whereby the people, just like barter, you know, that's the very base of it is barter. So we'll be right back.
Would you like to reclaim lost health? Are supplements only getting you so far? Hey, folks, my name is Franklin. I had a heart attack in 2006 that left me with a damaged valve, working at only 20% capacity and odds against being here now. Then I found RNA Drops, a patented complement formula that creates perfect cells in your body. My perfect cells helped me to regain heart function and more. What could your body do with perfect cells? For a limited time, you can find out for free. Go to franklinsrnadrops.com and get a free mini bottle, valued at $50 on its way. Just pay shipping and handling. While you're there, you can view our growing line of products and hear amazing stories of what these products have done for others. My story is there as well. That's franklinsrnadrops.com. Start reclaiming your health today by giving your body what it needs. I cannot wait to hear what your perfect cells are doing for you. Thank you.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy three Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
Aerial spraying, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Indigenous wisdom, indigenous wisdom, yeah, reflections in the light. And I'm glad to be a part of your tribe and see the brilliance of your heart and your mind. Word up. You know what I'm saying? It's like nothing left to do but come correct. You know what I mean? It's like you can only go crooked for so long before eventually you're gonna come full circle back. Yeah, so we getting our warriors, our love soldiers, and whoever really damn. It's a revolutionary stand when we get the people to chant. You get your people to chant.
Love, peace, and revolution. We are ready for a change. It's time to remove the money power from being our sovereigns. It's time for the people to take action so that they have self-sufficiency from these international bankers. We are lucky. This hour, we are joined with a very special guest. That's Ellen Hobson Brown. Ellen, are you there?
I am.
All right, excellent. And I was hoping, you know, I understand your primary, your book is Web of Debt. And basically, if you can kind of talk about what your focus is within the monetary reform movement. What is what is your focus within that movement?
Well, right now I've written this book, Web of Debt, which was first published in 2007 and predicted the collapse of the banking system, which it then did. Things evolved, and I'm now head of the Public Banking Institute. So our our push is to get state, county, and city publicly owned banks formed on the theory that the problem is, well, basically the problem is the interest. So 40% of everything we buy goes to interest, according to Margaret Kennedy, who is a German researcher and has collated a lot of data. So, because at every stage of production, producers borrow in order to finance, to pay for workers and materials before they get paid by their customers, which is typically like 90 days net. So you have a lot of different producers in this chain. And if you add those all up, the amount that goes to interest is huge. So that is all money that is now, the U.S. currency is backed by nothing but the full faith and credit of the United States. That is not the bank's money. That is our money. And properly, we the people should be getting the interest on these, on the creation of credit out of nothing, which is what banks do, and lending it at interest. So if you had publicly owned banks, you could, for example, finance public projects for 40% less than what we're paying right now. All that infrastructure that, well, California, I know, has an outstanding debt on their bonds of, I think it's $165 billion, and of that, $70 billion is... I guess it's $155 billion, and of that, $70 billion is interest. So if you own, if the state had borrowed from its own bank all along, it would have, we would be $70 billion richer in California. We would not have this horrible budget crisis that we do have. Likewise, for the federal government, if they had borrowed from their own central bank all the time, we would not have to pay $455 billion in interest on the federal debt every year. So that's our general push, is that the solution here is to make banking a public utility. So I know there are money reformers that think that the problem is that banks create money out of nothing. But in fact, bank credit is a good thing. That is what runs the economy. It's the interest siphoned off into private capital accounts that becomes a parasite on the economy rather than feeding the economy that we think is the problem, and that could be fixed by turning banking into a public utility, just like water should be, or roads, or electricity. All those things that are public networks that you need for your economy should be public resources.
Makes sense to me. Makes sense. And with respect to the focus is to create local banks in the or state banks in the design of the Bank of North Dakota. And what has the success and the feedback? Or what level of traction are you getting? And kind of some success stories in regard to how things are moving along.
Well, we get a lot of positive feedback, and we now have 20 states that have introduced legislation of one sort or another for a state-owned bank, but nobody's actually done it yet except North Dakota. What we need is a sort of a groundswell of understanding. The problem, of course, is that in any state legislature, you're up against big banks and big money, and they own the media and they've got the public ear, so they can easily make anything we say sound, you know, they've got the bigger voice. And so but we've got the internet, so, and we've got, of course, a lot of people are very unhappy with the banks now, so they're suspicious of anything bankers say. They're totally suspicious of Wall Street. So any alternative to Wall Street is starting to look better and better. So I think we're riding a wave, but the wave is still in its early stages.
It's hit and miss. And is it basically once these bills get into, you know, when they're deliberating on them in these different states, is it really, have you found any... media that's willing to really go to bat for you, like to really help push that idea forward, that it's a really basic issue?
Well, there's a lot of alternative media. That, I mean, it's I publish this stuff all the time. Every week or two, I write an article that's basically on that subject. And Huffington Post and Common Dreams and Truth Out and different outlets post my articles all the time. But for major media, it's rare, but we have had, there was recently an article in U.S. News that was favorable, and that we've had articles in The Nation and Wall Street Journal, but just randomly. It's not like they're continually going to bat. It's, we're lucky when we get some writer that is inspired by this idea and decides to write about it.
But not a continuous kind of pressure. That is the basis for the programming.
Right. Well, the Green Party has adopted it as one of their platforms, so that's great. But other than that, of course, politics is all about something else. Nobody seems to be addressing the root of the financial problem at all. It's just all about how we can balance the budget, which, of course, can't possibly be done, nor should it. Should we even be trying to balance the budget? It's good to have a government deficit when the economy is failing, because that's where our private money comes from, government expenditures. But that's all a misunderstanding by politicians, whether intentional. I mean, it could easily be intentional, because the rich want to acquire all our assets, and they're doing a pretty good job of it, of basically bankrupting everybody, getting all the public assets sold off privately, and snatching them up.
So basically the focus on this is slightly different than like a greenbacker philosophy, where the currency is just spent into circulation. This isn't focused on a national reform. It's focused on a statewide reform. Do you talk about that as well?
Right. Well, I started when I wrote Web of Debt. My thrust was a greenback solution. But it just seems clear that that's not going to happen anytime soon. The Congress at the federal level is deadlocked. But things can happen at the state level, and they can definitely happen at the county level. The counties are where we're actually focusing right now, because some counties are run by a handful of commissioners that they could get together over lunch and just say, how about forming a bank, and they could do it. They could shake hands on it and do it. And they're very motivated to do it, because the county land records have been totally destroyed by this whole MERS scam, the Mortgage Electronic Registration Systems, in the name of which over half the mortgages of the country are now registered. So nobody knows who owns these properties. It's just an electronic database that's sort of a smokescreen for all the investing trading that's going on behind the scenes of bits and pieces of your mortgage that have been chopped up and sold off. So counties are motivated to try to clean all that up, and they could do it through a county-owned bank that would become a land bank. They could take properties by eminent domain. There's a push now for fixing the underwater property problem by eminent domain. And if you did that through a county-owned bank, you could use those resources to fund your bank, and then you could have a credit machine for your whole local economy. Many possibilities here, but local seems the most accessible.
Yeah, that's where we have the most power. We're going to be going into break here, and I'm hoping when we get back, if you can sort of explain how the land bank would operate. That means the local land bank, they're actually creating new currency, I assume, in order to fund local projects without interest, the same way the state bank would. So we'll be looking for your answer right here after break. There are, there's so much to the monetary question, that there's so many levels, like on a pragmatic basis. There's something that you want for the country, but ultimately, what can we implement? What can we actually put into effect? And we'll be right back with Ellen Brown.
And the rain is all over the ground. Aloha, I'm Joby Weeks from Breckenridge, Colorado. What are mountain hours? It's organic money that we've been using in Summit County, Colorado. That's right, you heard me correctly, organic money. How can mountain hours benefit you? Mountain hours expand the local money supply and keep the money in the community. Mountain hours promote and expand local shopping with an endless multiplier. Mountain hours almost doubles the local minimum wage to $10, benefiting not only workers but businesses as well, who find new and loyal customers. Mountain hours enables shoppers to afford premium prices for locally crafted goods and for locally grown organic food. Mountain hours helps start new businesses and creates jobs. It reduces dependence on imports and transportation fuels. Mountain hours will make grants to nonprofit community organizations and zero interest loans. Mountain hours stimulate community pride and help everyone become more prosperous.
Join the Mountain Hours Revolution. The Bible recommends a universal debt jubilee for societies which have been enslaved by usury. Usury, interest, or REBA is a mathematic fraud which always creates victims in a game of musical chairs where there is far more debt than there is money to pay it. A contract based on usury, interest, or REBA is void as it is impossible for all borrowers to pay. The parasitic usurers can engineer foreclosures, bankruptcies, and loss of sovereignty on gold, silver, paper, or digital money creation and lending. Universal Debt Jubilee via organic money to hire the sheriff to stop enforcing the parasitic usurer's liens. Let's create a real-life miracle in 2012. It's time for the Jubilee. It's constitutional, biblical, moral, ethical, spiritual, and possible. Hope, joy, and abundance in 2012. Pass on the good news. This has been a public service announcement from K-Rock, the Truth Hammer, and Mountain Hours. The people are the money. Money is energy transfer technology, which is better than barter. Let's go back to basics to determine what money is. Before money, the people barter their services and products. A perfect barter system is one in which the participants can provide everything they need to sustain life. With this system, they are sovereign and independent. Imagine there are 25 businesses in this perfect barter system. They could get what they needed without Federal Reserve notes and sustain life. The problem with barter is that you need to find a person to have a direct trade with at a precise time. What if each business in the barter network created a $100 gift certificate out of thin air? The barter network could then trade gift certificates as a form of money without having to find a direct part. Paper money does not counterfeit. People counterfeit. Summit County Currency Cooperative is an honest issuer that keeps the quantity of money equal to the capacity of the producers in the network. Don't fall for the Rothschild's gold money disinformation. The elite control gold and silver, and the people will have to borrow it from them with usury. The people are the gold and can create money which makes them sovereign and independent from the parasitic usurers. MountainHours.com.
Set us support righteous man. Why did the people invite this man to make newer policies? Somebody help me please understand.
Somebody help me please understand. How are we going to extract ourselves from the money power? We're joined with Ellen Hobson Brown discussing monetary reform as always on the show. And specifically today it's through use of using a state bank and even more local, a land bank. So, Ellen, can you describe how that would actually occur and what are the benefits for the people?
Well, you mentioned about creating money. In fact, all of our money is created by banks as loans. A state is not allowed to actually issue its own currency, although I know there's some efforts being made, gold currencies and such, but it technically or under the Constitution, the state is not allowed to issue its own independent currency, and of course a county bank couldn't either, but they can use the dollars just like an ordinary bank does and create money in the same way that an ordinary bank does. The difference is that the interest, the profits, go back to the people. And the people have control of who gets the loans and it all goes for, they have a mandate to serve the public. We only have one model, and that's the Bank of North Dakota. But there are many public banks globally, and it works really well in other countries. We just don't hear about it. 40% of banks globally are publicly owned. These are largely in the BRIC countries, Brazil, Russia, India, and China. And those are the countries that are taking off. They've grown by 10% a year. China's grown by 10% a year, I think, for the last 30 years. And those four countries, which have 40% of the global population, have grown by 92% in the last decade, unlike us, where we're just barely growing at all, just limping along. So if you look at charts, they're going to pass us up quite soon. And one of their secrets is that the banks are publicly owned and they're mandated to serve the public. They're given credit to promote businesses and productive things. They're not allowed to engage in speculation, and they're not allowed to make huge profits that are then siphoned off to CEOs and put into private capital accounts, etc. So the way a county bank would work as a land bank, what you could do, I mean, this is hypothetical, nobody's done it yet, but there are land banks in different states like Michigan, and where the land bank is used to buy up blighted, foreclosed, abandoned properties that are actually hurting the neighborhood, bringing down neighborhood values, and they're sources of crime, and they make the neighborhood not look good. So those properties are taken over, usually on a tax lien, by the land bank, and then they fix them up and do whatever, resell them, rent them, whatever is good, whatever is the best, depending on the situation of the home, whether there's somebody in it, you know, who, some owner, et cetera. So what you could do is, using that initial model, take your land bank and declare that you're going to take these properties by eminent domain in the good of, in order to take by eminent domain, you have to show a public purpose, which this would be, because the neighborhoods are all suffering because of the properties that are dragging down the values, and b, you have to pay fair market value to anybody who claims ownership. Well, in this case, what you could do is put a notice in that paper and say, we, the county, are planning to take these homes by eminent domain. Anybody who can prove title, we will pay fair market value to. And assuming you're in one of those jurisdictions where courts have held that MERS, the Mortgage Electronic Registration Systems, does not hold title, it cannot hold title and cannot convey title, and therefore nobody holds title, the chain of title has been broken, this will put the onus, the burden, on the banks and the investors to prove that they own these things, which they won't be able to do. So the counties can get them free and clear, which would obviously be a big bonus for the counties. And then they can, if they turn their land bank into an actual bank in the sense that the Bank of North Dakota is, if they also put their county revenues in the bank, just as in North Dakota, the state is required to put their revenues in the Bank of North Dakota, they could then double their money the way banks do, by lending out that money at the same time that it's still there on deposit. That's how the whole system works. And then if the depositors, the state still has its money, it can still come for it at any time. That's how banking works. And yet this money has been lent out. The way they do that is, if both parties come for their money at once, they just borrow it from some other bank, which is probably where the money just wound up, if the check has gone out of that bank into another bank. So they can use the power of a bank to create credit to fix up these properties and, you know, improve the community and have a very productive credit generating resource for their
government. All right, we've got a break. We'll be right back.
Rising cost of living, now we're all running jeans. Inflation's an equation for a permanent enslavement. Interest is the whip that used to hit us.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
these annoying collection calls.
Imagine being free from your debt without settling and with no payment plan, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days and keep all your money? You can. It's called Zero Debt Guarantee, and it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet, and we guarantee the results in writing. Call now, 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide you with the resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. That's 800-477-9256 or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com.
Are you concerned about fluoride, chlorine, parasites, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Dalton ceramic water filters have been made continuously since 1827 and are used by disaster relief organizations and in third world countries to supply safe drinking water. Not only do we offer gravity filter systems, but also under the sink and countertop systems. Our replacement filters can be used to upgrade your existing system. And, unlike some other filters on the market, Dalton filters do not have to be primed. For more information, call us at 800-696-1435, 800-696-1435, or order online at Dalton.com. That's D-O-U-L-T-O-N.com.
Wouldn't you agree? Healthy people are happier and more productive. Obesity is the root cause of many health problems. Do you want to lose weight safely, look sexy and attractive without side effects and no chemicals? Lose weight without the side effects safely with Zeno's Organic Dietary Supplements. Made in the USA, 100% USDA certified organic. Visit www.zenos.com. That's www.zenohs.com. Try our products risk-free for a limited time offer. No purchase necessary. You only pay shipping and handling. Get your old, sexy body back now. Visit Zenos.com. Get your free supplements now. Visit Zenos.com right now. www.zenohs.com. That's www.zenohs.com.
What should be the proper relationship between a chairman of the Fed and a president of the United States?
Well, first of all, the Federal Reserve is an independent agency, and that means basically that there is no other agency of government which can overrule actions that we take.
That was former Federal Reserve Chairman Alan Greenspan indicating that the private bankers are the sovereigns. And Ellen, I was hoping to get your comment. I've been having a debate with Tom Woods, and he's an Austrian economics supporter, and basically it's his proposition that the only reason that the Federal Reserve is corrupt is because it's the government forcing us to use their money. If we just got rid of government completely, got out of the monetary business, they're saying that the banks would compete in a free market, and that would be the situation that would serve us best. And my reply to him is basically the private banks are the sovereigns already. They just use government as their puppet use as a patsy to blame for their ineptitude. What would you say to that kind of argument?
Well, I would say I agree with you that the Federal Reserve actually evolved out of a system in the 19th century in which we did have a bunch of independent banks all printing their own banknotes, supposedly backed by gold, but they didn't have the gold. You know, the wildcat banks particularly were notorious for not having the gold, and then the depositors would all come for their money at once, and there'd be a run on the banks, and they wouldn't have the money. They'd go bust, and people would lose a lot of money, and there'd be a bank panic. So finally, in 1913, the Federal Reserve was set up to backstop all that, to basically let them get away with it in a different way. By the Federal Reserve provided the reserves for bank runs, but now the banks had to use the Federal Reserve's money. They weren't allowed to print their own. Well, actually, there was another step in there. The National Bank Act had been imposed in 1860, I think originally 1863, and then it was followed up by another one in 1865 that allowed banks to issue national bank notes. In other words, they all said they came from the National Bank, and you had to put up some money with the Treasury in order to get these notes that were issued by the Treasury, but they still had the private bank's name on them, and they really were still private. And then there were still the state banks that were busily engaging in all this independent wildcat banking, particularly on the West Coast, where, you know, you had your gold rush and things were, you didn't have businesses with real bills of exchange that could be used to back the currency, and so you just had this wildcat stuff going on. So the Federal Reserve was set up in order to let banks get away with printing money, and if they ran out of reserves, they could just go to the Federal Reserve and they would get the money. So it's still a private system. Go ahead.
Have you had I've never really seen it where there's been a real debate where, you know, let's call, like, greenbackers, for instance, versus Austrians, hard money advocates. Has there ever been a real debate, a live debate, where it was, mediated properly? I've never seen one.
Not to my knowledge, no. Everybody argues with each other independently.
It's 2012, and they have, if you turn the TV on, they have continuous debates about who should be the starting quarterback for a football team. Why hasn't there been a meaningful debate about money, which is the most important topic on the planet?
Mm-hmm. I agree. It would be a great idea. It's a little intimidating.
But, well, I'm sure you would be open to doing it. Like, have you or any of the groups that you're involved in have ever tried to set one up?
No. Uh-uh. I was interviewed once by Peter Schiff, and he was so rude. I thought, I'm not going to do that again. He called me, like, on an hour's notice, and I graciously said I would do it, and then he just tore into me and didn't let me speak. So I thought, I mean, that's what I mean by daunting. I don't know that everybody would be polite in this deal. That's why it's a little easier to write about it, and I can just do a very reasonably and coolly take apart arguments.
Yeah, it's interesting. I had seen a kind of a running debate. Basically, Peter North, who's an Austrian, I'm sure you know, he was
Gary North. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Sorry, he was covering one of your. Basically your book. And one of the big things I see them do, it's like they, whether an issue is true or not, they'll take quotes and they'll just say, because, you know, this or that quote wasn't accurate, therefore the information is inaccurate. And I think it's just like a sidetracking of the issue to blow smoke as to whether somebody's quote is or is not valid. What, you know, it might be on Franklin or Jefferson or whatever. But ultimately, if the topic is accurate, that's really the more meaningful point. Don't you believe that's the case? It seems like they're being real tic-tacky just to find any way they can to find a way to support private banking, number one, and interest, which is completely unnecessary as well. Has that been your experience? It's just like kind of sniping?
Yeah, I agree, and that's why my own approach, although, I mean, a debate would be a good idea, but my own approach is to just keep arguing my own position, you know? I mean, it just seems so reasonable that if we own the banks, that we would be better off. If the profits return to the people, you have to be in a better position than if the profits get siphoned off to rich CEOs that are already the 1% or the 0.1% or something like that.
And so how do you, because like the big thing that they focus on, and I'm a libertarian, is that, you know, this is all based on force. They're making you pick their currency. And since they're requiring us to use their currency in the form of taxes, therefore, they can basically overproduce the currency and then use inflation as a methodology to steal. Because I believe that bankers have create scarce money to engineer defaults. That's the way they steal, rather than overproduce it and create it as a form of theft. Would you agree with one of those two propositions?
I think bankers do it both ways. First, they make easy credit, and so people wind up getting obligated for debts that they really shouldn't, well, like buying a house they shouldn't have bought, or doing improvements that they didn't really need, but they have this cheap loan, and they're told that housing will keep going up, and they think they can recover the value by selling the thing. And then the banks pull the plug on the credit, and suddenly the whole thing collapses. And then, of course, the bankers have their collateral, which is the house, so they get to all the property, and then they're trying to foreclose on the country. They're trying to get all our public assets. They even want to get our Social Security and our whole social safety net. They want to tear apart and force us to be in their stock market, which they will then pull the plug on, and we'll lose all our savings for retirement. And I mean, they want to get it all, and the way they do it is they blow up a bubble of credit, easy credit, and then they snatch it back. They pop the bubble, and they take the collateral. So yes, that's why if you have a public banking system that's actually trying to serve the public, like Brazil is a good example. President Lula in 2001 got elected president. Before that, they were the world's largest debtor. They were, you know, in horrible shape. Lula took over. He took a big public bank, the BNDES, which is a big development bank, and he made it much bigger. And he used that bank to fund everything in sight that was good for the country, you know, productive things, but no speculation, none of the things that bankers do with their profits. And the profits were all returned to the public because it was a public bank. So with that, 10 years later, or within his, I guess, 8 years later, he said, I saw this quote, I thought it was great. He said, "Don't you think it's very chic that we are now creditors of the IMF?" They were lending to the IMF. He said when he was young, he campaigned against the IMF. He was just the ordinary auto worker that moved up the ranks. So anyway, that can be done by somebody who sincerely intends to serve the public with a public system.
Okay. In Brazil, then, do they, like, for instance, I was here, you know, I think they've got a Chevrolet plant that started, and they make cars that run without petroleum, I think on sugarcane, perhaps. Is that something that they use their national bank in order to finance projects for energy independence?
I guess I've heard that too, but I'm not sure how that interacts with the banking system. I know that's true in Venezuela, where they nationalize the oil industry, and then they use the oil profits to fund other things, including banking. And in Argentina, that it was President Kirchner, passed away, and his wife is now President Cristina Kirchner, and the head of the central bank is a woman. And between them, they've decided, the head of the central bank said they were going to be taking down some pictures, and the first one would be Milton Friedman's. But they're just very quietly saying, "Well, we heard what you said, but we don't think we want to do that anymore. We're going to try it this other way." So they're just issuing credit and doing what the country needs with their credit machine, and it's working very well for them. But they're doing it quietly, unlike a Gaddafi in Libya, for example, who defied the world and stood up and shook a fist and tried to mobilize the whole African continent to buy oil only and gold, you know, not to use the dollar and all that. So he was basically defying the whole international banking cartel, and the international banking cartel took him down. But if they do it quietly and politely, like the Argentinians are doing it, they can do it, and it's working.
Okay. I understand that the third annual REBA conference is coming up, and another little, you know, the question of interest or REBA or usury. Do you believe it's possible and likely, as I do, that basically the bankers create a scheme with interest that just mathematically within that scheme, they do not respend the payments. So since they only create the principal and not the interest, they are able to, even you know, on gold or silver with 100% reserves, they can engineer defaults even without expanding and contracting the monetary system simply by the application of interest. Do you believe that interest is something that needs to be eliminated, and that we can basically just create the currency without interest?
Well, interest definitely, that is the exponential function. That there's no, the only time you see exponential growth in nature is when it's cancer or a parasite. I mean, those are the, and obviously that's not good for the natural environment. So natural growth goes in an S curve where it goes up and then it levels off into a mature, sustainable situation. But you could have interest. As long as the interest goes back to the public, goes back to the whole, that's the way they did it in Pennsylvania, and that was a sustainable system. Benjamin Franklin's colony of Pennsylvania had a land bank that was publicly owned by the government. So the government printed money, but instead of just printing and spending, which of course does wind up being inflationary eventually, they printed money and lent it through their land bank to the farmers, and the money came back. But it came back with an interest charge attached. But the money supply didn't need to expand to cover that interest charge, because the government spent some other money just directly into the economy, because they had the power of the press. They printed some and lent it, and printed some more and spent it. So there was enough money out there for principal and interest. So you could, say, print $105 if you're using dollars, lend 100 at 5% interest, spend 5 on your budget, and there would be 105 out there that could come back as principal and interest, which you could then lend 100, spend 5, do that over and over without expanding. So that's a sustainable S-curve type growth.
So the basically the amount of money created is the same amount of money that's owed in debt. There's sufficient enough to pay the principal and the interest.
Yeah, I'm actually speaking at the REBA Free conference in Malaysia in late November, and so is Bill Still. So that we're both on that sort of platform.
Yeah, have you been out there before? That's in Malaysia, I understand.
Yeah, actually, that'll be my third time out there. So I spoke at that conference last year, and then the previous year I spoke at one sponsored by former Prime Minister Mahathir, who they had sponsored a conference. He sponsored me and Michael Hudson and Michelle Chasudovsky and Cynthia McKinney all were at his conference, which was partly on war-related things. That's what Cynthia McKinney was speaking on. But, yeah, it was great.
Is that, like, the people that come to listen to that, are they generally activists, or is it heads of state that you're trying to influence so that they can become educated on this issue? What is the target audience that you're trying to reach?
Well, the man who's organizing the current conference, he's very concerned because people think that it's a religious issue. You know, REBA Free is religious, but he says it's not. It's banking. They're looking for a solution to the banking crisis, which they are having to deal with like everyone else. And that's one reason that he invited Bill and me, and there's a Canadian man who's also, you know, people who have no religious dog in the race here. We're just talking about banking.
Yeah,
so that's their intention, and I go along because it's really interesting to go to the other side of the world and to hear the views of people. You know, the whole world is upside down from the other side of the world, and everything that you thought was one way, they see as a different way.
It must be interesting. I haven't gone to something like that. Our the show's friend, Tommy Usury Free Kennedy, was telling us about that. He's going. And
yeah,
Check that out. We've got a break. We'll be right back.
If you seek, then you shall find that we all come from the divine. You dig what I'm saying? Now, if you take heed to the words of wisdom that are written on the walls of life, then universally we will stand, and divided we will fall, because life.
Hey, aloha, I'm Joby Weeks from Breckenridge, Colorado. What are mountain hours? It's organic money that we've been using in Summit County, Colorado. That's right, you heard me correctly, organic money. How can mountain hours benefit you? Mountain hours expand the local money supply and keep the money in the community. Mountain hours promote and expand local shopping with an endless multiplier. Mountain hours almost doubles the local minimum wage to $10, benefiting not only workers but businesses as well, who find new and loyal customers. Mountain Hours enables shoppers to afford premium prices for locally crafted goods and for locally grown organic food. Mountain Hours helps start new businesses and creates jobs. It reduces dependence on imports and transportation fuels. Mountain Hours will make grants to nonprofit community organizations and zero-interest loans. Mountain Hours stimulate community pride and help everyone become more prosperous.
Join the Mountain Hours revolution. Are you a keeper or abolitionist of usury? This is the true debate between debt slaves, which will lead to their emancipation. The parasitic usurers have created many Hegelian dialects, which they remain in control no matter who wins. Example, Coke or Pepsi, Democrat or Republican, progressive or conservative. Here's a good one, gold money or worthless fiat paper. The parasitic usurer can enslave the people on gold, silver, paper, or digital money creation and lending. The parasitic usurer can dominate societies with big government, small government, or even no government. The people can have abundance this year once they realize that usury is the original sin of the world's monetary and economic problems. The real debate is, are you a keeper or abolitionist of the mathematic fraud of usury-based money creation and lending? The emancipation of global debt slaves is the human rights cause of all time. Jubilee 2012 via MountainHours.com. The Bible recommends a universal debt jubilee for societies which have been enslaved by usury. Usury, interest, or REBA is a mathematic fraud which always creates victims in a game of musical chairs where there is far more debt than there is money to pay it. A contract based on usury, interest, or REBA is void, as it is impossible for all borrowers to pay. The parasitic usurers can engineer foreclosures, bankruptcies, and loss of sovereignty on gold, silver, paper, or digital money creation and lending. Universal debt jubilee via organic money to hire the sheriff to stop enforcing the parasitic usurers' liens. Let's create a real-life miracle in 2012. It's time for the jubilee. It's constitutional, biblical, moral, ethical, spiritual, and possible. Hope, joy, and abundance in 2012. Pass on the good news. This has been a public service announcement from K-Rock, the Truth Hammer, and Mountain Hours.
We go our own way when we shine the light. We go our own way because we know it's right. Blessings be for the people in the good fight. Hold on, because it's going to be in the political and spiritual, melodic to the lyrical, explicit and satirical, but utterly sincere for you. We give it away like the Chili Peppers did, and the Funky Monks are here to repeal the deficit. Yeah, it could be good if the people would come together, organize the streets in the hood. It's not a ghetto thing, yo, we're not gangster. Those are devils from the Wall Street banks.
Indeed, the Wall Street banksters are to blame. They are the 1%. How do we get out from underneath their control? And we, on this broadcast, focus on local currency specifically in time-based local currencies to be networked across the country. We have Mountain Hours here in Summit County, which can be traded with Mile High Hours down in Denver, with Ithaca Hours. Ellen, have you looked into this concept of networking these local currencies that are time-based across the country?
I guess I'm not in the network, but I've certainly looked into community currencies, and I've written about them. They're definitely, I wouldn't see them as, you couldn't really have a national community currency. That's the whole nature of a community currency, but they're definitely a good supplement to, the existing system. We need more currency out there. That's the problem. There's not enough money to buy the goods and services that people produce. There's not enough money in the real economy. It's siphoned off into these capital accounts where it's just sitting there and growing parasitically on the side of the economy. So somehow we have to get money where people can use for trade.
All right, makes sense. And we're just about out of time. Can you offer what's the best place for our listeners to look into more of your information?
Webofdebt.com is my website, and publicbankinginstitute.org is the Public Banking Institute website.
Okay, and primarily the focus is now, where have you gotten the best feedback with respect to establishing a land bank in the county?
We're working on that right now, actually, and San Bernardino is working on an eminent domain proposal for dealing with underwater mortgages, which is pretty radical because that's talking about people who are still paying on their loans. But it wouldn't be through a land bank. It would be through a private company who is going to be the middleman, which people are pretty suspicious of. So we're thinking that a land bank there would be a public bank would solve those problems there. But in terms of actually setting up a land bank that's publicly owned, again, it's just kind of hypothetical, but there is talk in Pennsylvania and Michigan and some of those really distressed states. Oh, and also I think in Sonoma County they're talking about a county-owned bank.
Oh, that's interesting. It always struck me as being it'd be like a very impoverished, like maybe Detroit. It just seemed like that would work. Where, it's been fully abandoned, where they're just about ready to try anything. And then finally the money power is kind of vacated too, because there's nothing left to steal, so to speak. So it seemed like maybe one of those sorts of areas would work.
Mm-hmm. That's the way it is in San Bernardino County. The councilmen there are just saying, the bankers are saying, no, you can't do it for this and that reason. And they're saying, well, we're desperate. We have to do something. So they're proceeding with it, or they're proceeding to look into it.
Yeah.
That city of San Bernardino filed bankruptcy recently.
Oh, is that right? I didn't realize that.
And the major problem is that all the mortgages are just, the house is only worth half what they were worth a few years ago.
Well, we are out of time. I thank you, Ellen Brown, for appearing, and do check out webofdebt.com. Thank you, Ellen.
Thank you. Very interesting. Bye.
Bye.